Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. This program is going to be a little different. I'm going to take the opportunity to speak with several very knowledgeable, thoughtful, courageous individuals about the kinds of challenges this country has faced in the past and is facing today when it comes to the enemies within and the magnitude of the threat that they pose to us. This has been the subject of a new column by a journalist by the name of Eli Lake, published at the Bloomberg View, under the headline, Trump's Coming Witch Hunt Against Political Islam. I personally feature prominently in this attack, and others associated with us do as well. I want to drill down on the charges that Eli Lake makes, I believe recklessly, and assess why it is that this particular journalist and so many others are determined to ignore or downplay, at the very least, the threats that are manifestly obvious, and so vilify people who are trying to warn of them. To begin, we're going to pick up with our regular feature, Diana West. Diana has, among other things, done as serious an analysis of these sorts of questions as any living American, certainly that I'm aware of, notably in her extraordinarily important book, American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. You can find her writings now at dianawest.net. She's a longtime syndicated columnist and always a valued guest here, most especially to talk about Eli Lake's warnings of a political witch hunt. Diana, welcome back. Good to have you as always.
Thank you, Frank. Wonderful to be with you and discussing this extremely important subject.
Well, it is extremely important, and I'm delighted especially to have the benefit of your counsel on this because you have studied so closely the history of these things. And the term political Islam, of course, is one that could be swapped out for other targets of witch hunts. Talk a little bit about this whole notion that if one seriously assesses and tries to counter threats, domestic as well as foreign, this constitutes McCarthyism or witch hunting. Just give us some of the history here, if you would.
Yes. Well, it's very important because we have been denied that history, which is essentially what my book, American Betrayal, seeks to begin to restore to the American people. And that basic thrust of that history that's been denied to us is that, yes, we do have enemies domestic. The triumph of so-called McCarthyism in terms of being a weapon against investigating our domestic enemies has been to essentially erase the very concept that there may be subversives working for foreign or subversive enemy hostile interests who are burrowing by stealth into our very fabric of the nation, whether it's in the actual taxpayer-funded government or other institutions. This is what the Congress and the FBI and many important journalists and other observers and keenly affected Americans were looking at in the period following World War II in particular. But this infiltration began much earlier. And indeed, when we go back to the 1930s, we see the House Un-American Activities open, led by Representative Martin Dies, a Democrat of Texas, to examine what was going on with foreign ideologies trying to subvert and indeed overthrow our government. And in those days, what he was looking at primarily was Americans who were affiliated with communist groups and at that time Nazi Bund groups who were secretly or even not so secretly working inside the federal government.
Yeah. And Diana West, was there any question that that was in fact happening? Did the Dyes House Un-American Affairs Committee actually find evidence of those enemies domestic operating on and in some cases inside the United States government?
Absolutely. I mean, here is what we're looking at in the period of the Nazi-Soviet Pact, when Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia were allies before World War II. The United States Congress passed several measures designed to enable the FBI to look at federal employees. Again, this was a notion of the idea was that subversives working to overthrow the United States government should not actually be funded by the taxpayer working inside that government. I mean, it seems like a fairly obvious concept. Yes. So the Congress passed, and remember, this was even during the Roosevelt days, so this would have been a Democratic Congress. They passed legislation that allowed or that actually tasked the FBI to examine the affiliations of federal employees involved in either Nazi Bund activities or various communist group activities. And what they ended up with, certainly in terms of the involvement with communism, was much more widespread. And what they ended up with was a report that included, and I will give you the exact number, 1,124 names. And this would have been a federal employees involved in many of them in multiple communist front organizations. And among these names were even some of the most famous spies we only later, much to our tragedy, were able to expose in the aftermath of World War II, including people like Alger Hiss. Imagine if an Alger Hiss and a Harry Dexter White and others who were exposed at this time before World War II had actually been ousted from the federal government. But what happened with this report, the FBI did its report. It compiled some 5 volumes of indeterminate length about the activities of these various employees, which went lost. And then by the time we become allies with the Soviet Union, the pressure from the Roosevelt White House is such that the entire enterprise is over. You are no longer allowed to consider communists anything but allies.
You mentioned this Congressman Martin Dyes, a Democrat, who did much of this work long before Joe McCarthy turned up. Recall for us what Martin Dyes told Joseph McCarthy when he, the latter, announced that he was going to take up the cudgel and try to figure out what was going on after World War II to assess communist penetration of the United States government. It's a really important message for all of us in this fight at the moment.
Yes, well, this is an amazing moment that took place on Connecticut Avenue at the old Harvey's restaurant, right around 1950. And we're looking at a meeting, a chance meeting at the restaurant between Martin Dyes and Senator McCarthy with his then fiance, later wife. And he happened to see Dyes and he went up to him and told him that he was contemplating investigating communism. And this is something that Martin Dyes wrote about in his own memoir. And he says, Joe wanted suggestions and advice. Now, this is, to me, was such an amazing concept of these two men meeting at this point. Martin Dyes had been vilified for years, all the years he was chairman of the House Un-American Activities Committee. And so in this period after World War II, as Joe McCarthy was preparing to embark on his investigations, which I should add, were not unique in the sense that there were many other investigating committees in the House and the Senate also doing the same good work of patriots, trying to find out who had entered this government and subverted it to Moscow's ends. I mean, this is essentially what they were looking at. So anyway, at this moment, Dyes tells him, I told him of my own experiences and warned him to expect abuse, ridicule, and every known device of character assassination and mental torture. I told him to move cautiously until he was sure of his footing, to beware of unsupported charges that would soon be flooding his offices, and never underestimate the cleverness and resourcefulness of the communists and their fellow travelers.
Diana, we have to leave it at that for the moment. But thank you for this important reconstruction of what happened at a critical moment in our past. We're going to talk next to Trevor Loudon about what is happening in our present and how it really informs, or at least should inform, the debate we now must have about dealing with these enemies, foreign and domestic. Diana, thanks as always. Keep up the good work at dianawatts.net. Come back to us again soon. Trevor Loudon, straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.